B-Pod Studios.
You want to talk sports in Boston, you talk to these guys.
That will now be a recycled take.
Right.
But it's
a retake. It's a reheated take. Microwave take.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Not good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Call early and often, though. What the hell, Zoe? We'll open them up right away. Release the hounds. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. We're starting basketball today, so we said, what better way to start hoops? Get rid of Beadle and bring McCone in. He's a hoop head.
Love it.
Right. Beadle out today. Tim McCone in. Hardy, Zolak, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Brad Stevens is going to join us in 16 minutes. Danny Ainge was on with Tutcher and Rich earlier today talking about the state of the team. And
heard that.
A lot going on. So we'll get to all the NFL draft stuff later on and definitely get to the Bruins. Touch a little bit on the Red Sox. But we begin, since Brad Stevens will be joining us pretty shortly here, on the state of the Celtics. Danny Ainge on with Tutcher and Rich. It was a big spot for Danny Ainge coming on today.
You know, the questions are coming, too, regarding, future Brad, changes that are going to need to be made in the offseason, and will there be any? And Danny, of course, is not going to go into detail, but he did say we will make changes.
So, McCone, hoop head that you are, what are your feelings just like right now on the state of the Celtics?
When you watch them play, what's the biggest problem you have when you watch and you invest your time as a fan to watch his team play?
It feels like they're peaking at the right time, right? Feels like they're playing their best basketball as they're heading into the playoffs. Yeah. It's a disaster right now.
Okay, there you go.
It's an absolute disaster. I don't know what the problem is. I honestly don't think it's just firing Brad Stevens, though. I really don't. I think it's the roster.
Okay.
Well, here's the problem. Why are they 8-1 against the good teams? And then against bad teams, they're like 500.
I think a lot of it has to do with, number one, like your best players, like in Tatum and Brown, and obviously you lost Brown for the rest of the season, but being able to step up, kind of that Rajon, that playoff Rondo, whenever you had Rondo on the Celtics and it was a primetime game, they're playing their best basketball when it matters, and then the games where you're not necessarily in the spotlight, you just kind of play down to your competition. I think you get a lot of that with this Celtics team, and I think there are a lot of pieces that just don't fit. I don't think the team outside of Tatum and Brown is very good. I'm not going on a limb and saying that.
They're
so
not.
I think you need to make some
factual.
Major changes.
Right. And I think Tim's right here, Hardy. And I know you've talked about this.
Tim.
That meant a lot, by the way. I'm going to have T-Bone clip
it's
that.
Easier. to say Tim is easier and say, look, McCone.
McCone's a good name. It's got a nice ring to it. It's fun to say. You know, you got that hard concept, McCone. But all right, call him Tim. It's fine.
Okay.
Tim's right.
Friend.
Tim's right.
Friend.
But
if you watch them, and it is the same stuff because we've watched them play stars, and we've talked about this with guys like Steph Curry, Jimmy Butler and company, whether it's Embiid, whether it's Giannis. When there is a lull, and say they are playing to a bad team, those guys can carry the team through a stretch where we need energy on a day like today because we're human. We know we're playing a lesser team, but now we got to step on their throat. It's easy to get up for the big games. Everybody's circling Tampa Bay at New England. Why? Big game. Place is going to be juiced. Place ain't going to be so juiced against Miami. So who's going to lead on the Patriots? They'll make sure you put Miami away because everybody's going to be looking forward to that Tampa game.
See, we're gonna bring everything back to NFL schedule, regardless of what we talked about today. It's all under the umbrella of schedule day being yesterday.
You keep forgetting that your two best players are 22 years old. 22 and 23 years old. They're not real born leaders yet in the NBA. Those other guys we mentioned have been in the league for a while. Winners, stamped, vested veterans, 28, 27, guys that are superstars that could carry a team.
Here's what I fear.
You see the dips and lulls with this team, and they're led by two young kids.
Joel Embiid wasn't that guy right away.
No.
You know?
He is now.
Embiid was a bit of a knucklehead.
It's his team now.
Right? Now. Okay? So There's talk of, you know, what do you do to change it? And but we'll listen to Rich's question to Danny Ainge here. It was less than an hour ago when he was on with him, and it was it was telling for a couple of reasons, because it all kind of comes together in this.
When you take a look at this offseason, it does seem like it would be an easy thing to say, to go, well, you know what? We rarely had the starting five on the court, or the starting, or like our top seven playing in the same game. You know, Jaylen Brown was hurt. There's a lot of reasons that you could look at this year and convince yourself to maybe try to run it back. Do you believe it would be acceptable, the way this team has played this year, to bring back the same squad with minimal changes for one more year?
I don't really know what you mean by acceptable, but I think that we will definitely be looking to make some changes in the off season, and obviously can't go into any of those kind of details. But yeah, there will be changes. How significant? I don't know yet.
He doesn't know what you mean by acceptable, which,
I think it's pretty clear.
Would it be a recipe for success to bring back the same team?
No.
That's what Rich meant by acceptable. I think that's how Danny took the question, and his answer was, we're going to make some changes. The problem is, if you move on too soon from a guy like Jaylen Brown, or it's not going to be Jason Tatum, but they have the ability and they have the potential to turn into that type of leader that you see other players have become around the league.
Yeah, four years from now.
Yeah, but I mean,
Brad,
so,
want to be here for 4 years?
You just said it. The age of some of these guys. How big of a knucklehead were you at 22 or 23? How much different are you now from what you were then?
If there were the cell phones and internet, cell phones and internet that we have nowadays, and the ability of news to travel, I'd be out of league in a year.
It's a really telling situation, to where Danny said, yes, we're going to make some changes. He was also asked specifically, point blank, you know, kind of tongue in cheek, but Fred did ask the question. He's like, you're going to fire Danny Ainge?
You can fire Brad Stevens.
Are you going to fire Brad Stevens? Excuse me, T-Bone.
He said it jokingly, but he was serious.
Yeah, I don't know if we have it. We don't even really need to listen to it. All Danny said was, nice try. Like, to get me to go down that road and talk about it again. Here's what I took away from it. Brad Stevens isn't going anywhere. And when he started talking about specific players, he was specifically asked about Marcus Smart.
Yep.
And the answer was long enough and just praising enough to make me think, that's a guy that other teams might be interested in. It was that type of praise, you know? The every night type of guy, the guy who is not being tuned out by other players in the locker room. No, they're not tired of hearing his voice.
We love Marcus. There's a lot of teams that would love to have a guy like Marcus.
He's a difference maker in the locker room. Yeah,
so many teams that would offer up so much for Marcus. No, it didn't go quite to that level. But is that going to be enough? You know, Marcus is going to be. It would have to be part of a deal, part of a package. I don't know. Depends on how badly you think this team needs to be changed. Depends on what type of additions you think are going to be a difference maker for the Celtics. And it really comes down to, how much of a dead-ass team do you think this is right now? Are they a dead-ass team, or are they a team that was just riddled with injuries all year? And again, I will ask you, Tim, as Zoe seems to want to call you now, how much of it do you put on the performance of the guys when they were healthy, and how much of it do you put on the team being hampered with injuries throughout the season?
Well, I think injuries has something to do with it, but the problem is, you look at Kemba Walker, I don't think that situation is going to change between this year and next season, right? Like, that knee is always going to be an issue. And so you look at the roster outside of Tatum and Jaylen Brown, your biggest moves to make are either one, trading Kemba Walker, which is one of the worst contracts in basketball, for probably another contract that's terrible as well. So you're looking at like a Russell Westbrook, John Wall swap and hoping that that works. Or Marcus Smart. Like, those are the two pieces that you can really move on this roster to make a big change.
Ainge said it too, to TNR. And obviously we're going to talk to Brad in 5 minutes. And speaking of Brad, Ainge said, the real issues on this basketball team are not Brad Stevens. Brad's not going anywhere. So you could sit here and you could call and you could send the emails or your angry little, you know, social media posts, you know, about the coach and think you're going to get somebody who would change this, who would make the team healthier, who would make the team play harder. And don't forward former player me. I know you all love Perk on the broadcast. Perk's got it easy right now. He's sitting back, watching basketball games, and just letting it fly like Chuck, Charles Barkley. You have to be a different guy when you got a coach.
When you're
and you got to motivate.
That's a you real practice. Job.
It's a real job. Right. That's why I don't coach.
Well, you coach. Well,
I coach little kids, but look, to coach professionally in any profession, it's 24-7. 24-7. Brad talks about with us.
Based on our text chain, I would say you're taking your coaching job to a 24-7.
I know. That sounds this like week, a coach yes. that doesn't want all the responsibility in case he loses this weekend.
Nope,
that's
not
what that
me.
Sounded
Super Bowl.
Like.
I'm all in. I'm all in.
We're talking about the Celtics like they're dead. They're not dead.
They're dead.
No.
They are dead.
Okay. Hey, Tim. The head coach is coming on with us in about 6 minutes.
Why don't you ask
okay?
him, Tim?
He's probably listening right now. So we don't want to...
McCone, why don't you ask him if he got his golf clubs out yet? You don't have the balls to...
Cannot come back with that, Tito. You cannot play that song as we when we return and welcome in Brad Stevens. He joins us next on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Drive home with Felger and Matt. Right now, Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, 617-779-0985. You can load them up for after we talk with Brad Stevens here in mere moments. We'll also be talking to NFL schedule here very, very shortly as the schedule was released last night.
Yep.
Did it go verbatim? Did it go like line for line what the early reports were?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there were some clarifications on the preseason. I got some different days confused on the preseason, but it was the same preseason teams that I knew we were going to play.
All right. As for the Celtics, I believe two regular season games left now. McCone, you have all the scheduling committed to memory, I'm sure.
Yeah, if the play-in started tomorrow, it would be Charlotte, right?
Yeah, they have at Timberwolves and then at the Knicks to close things out. And then, like you said, they're going to be in this play-in tournament too. So
nothing happens in these last two games that can change anything in terms of the play-in tournament status?
I don't believe so, no.
I don't believe so either. All right. But we'll ask Brad about it. He's going to be on here with us in just 1 second. And then, as I said, we're going to get to the Bruins a little bit later on. Some great stuff for you on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Matt Dolliff, been pounding away on the keyboard, getting you ready with his columns there.
Cassidy got him too today. Cassidy went on with TNR. We'll bring you some of that interview and some things he said. Gave you a couple inside looks at it. I'm pretty confident going up against Tom Wilson.
So. A lot of stuff going on at the Garden, especially with the Celtics. Brad Stevens joining us now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Brad, it's Hardy in for Beetle today, along with Zoe and Tim McCone. How are you, Brad?
Pop him up, please. We got him. Coach, you there? We don't have him. Check, check.
I hear something.
No, no connection. We'll try again. All right. Pot him down, call him back. We'll try it again.
Okay.
Oh, there we go.
Hey, there we go.
There we go.
Oh, sorry about that, Brad. I think that was operator error on my end.
It wasn't me. They don't let me touch the buttons here.
No, it's I'm sitting in Beatles chair. It's Hardy. I'm not used to these buttons over here. They're a little bit different.
Hey,
well, that's he's a master at those buttons.
Yes,
I for sure thought it was me.
No.
Coach, for many weeks now, and I know you've answered questions here on our show about health and about looking forward and the standings and playoff seedings, and you're pretty hesitant to talk about that. Kind of understand now why. You know, you don't have a healthy team. You're looking at the play-in tournament now, and wouldn't do you much to say, wish we would be the 5 seed or the 6 seed, but not so the case. How do you handle this?
Well, I've said forever, right? I mean, when you're in Boston and you're coaching in Boston, playing in Boston, then, you know, obviously you want to be as good of a seed as you can because it gives you your best chance with regard to home court, with regard to how you performed all year, et cetera. But you want to be in it, and you want to ultimately be standing at the end, right? And so that's one of the things that I've really tried to focus on is where we really are, you know, what we really need to do. And, you know, like you said, trying to become as fresh as possible for that moment. Now, you know, we were in good position to battle for a bye or a 5-6, whatever the case may be, and we didn't take advantage of it. And so we're in the position now where our seed is undetermined, but we know we'll be playing next Tuesday night. And, you know, I think now we have to make decisions based on what's best for Tuesday night.
Have you had long meetings discussing the details of the play-in tournament and trying to get everybody to understand it? Because I sat through a four-hour symposium on it yesterday, and I don't think I understand it yet.
It's awful.
I have not had long meetings on it. I just know that if you're 7, you play 8.
Yep.
If you win, you become the 7 seed. If you lose, you play the next one. And if you win that one, you become the 8 seed. If you lose them both, you're done. And so that's the easiest way I can explain it.
At least it gives you two home games if you lose that first one, right? You would play that consolation.
Well, we're not set in the 7 seed yet.
Okay.
So there's still things that could happen. I mean, we've got 2 more games. Pacers and Charlotte both have 36 losses. They're both have 3 more games. And so, you know, we could be sitting in a situation where even on Sunday afternoon, it would be not determined yet where we're playing on Tuesday night. So, but the bottom line is, you know, we've got to, you know, there's different ways, right? You want to peak at the right time and you want to be flying heading into the playoffs and playing your best basketball. And for us, we haven't been. And, you know, it's not what I would consider to be a normal position for a group that we've had the last 5 or 6 years. But our opportunity is to reset, refresh, and see if we can't play our best basketball when that time comes.
The last 5 or 6 years, it feels like one of the calling cards for your team has been being a really good defensive team, and that's obviously been a little different this year. What do you think the biggest change this season's been for you guys on that end?
Well, I think there's a number of reasons. But number one is, as a coach, I certainly have always taken pride in no matter who's available, we'll be able to guard. And we just haven't. We haven't been impactful enough. You know, we have possessions where we're physical enough. We have possessions where we're not. You know, we haven't been as good at getting to the 3-point shooters as we have in the past. And, you know, again, I think there are a number of things that add into that. But the best teams that I've ever been around, 1 through 17 on any given night, you have a chance because you can really guard. And, you know, I think that you've seen that in a lot of these games, last night included, and last night our defense probably wasn't as bad as our offense, but, you know, we would have had a better shot if we were better defensively. And so, you know, as we go into this weekend, it could be a great opportunity for other guys that haven't played as much to show growth in 2 games and see if, you know, can't maybe separate themselves for a minute or two when it matters on Tuesday night.
All right, Coach, Jaylen Brown, obviously tough loss for you. It's a guy who doesn't have a sprained wrist. It's ligament damage, which ultimately required surgery. And there were some mixed reactions, like when this happened. Was it the collision, you know, with Jason the other day? But I think Danny was even on this morning saying, this goes way back where it was discomfort.
Yeah.
He was scoring in the high 30s, I think 38, 39. He had a couple of those games. And so he was playing through something, wasn't he?
Were you surprised at that when it came down that, like,
people,
you know,
thought it happened last week?
Yeah, I was surprised to find he's going through surgery this week. I'm like, what happened?
In all sincerity, you know, like I said the other day, I mean, they go through head to toe with these guys every day when they walk in. And so, you know, Jaylen tells you how tough Jaylen is. Like, he said, yeah, it's kind of bothering me, but it wasn't like maybe his shoulder felt, his knee after tendonitis, his ankle after the sprain. Like, he felt those more, and those were what was holding him out.
And so when I got a call on Friday that, hey, we're going to, you know, take a scan of Jalen's wrist, and then I got the call that there's ligament damage, it's like, yeah, that was a big shock to me, and because he never really mentioned it to me. He had it taped occasionally. He grabbed it occasionally, but these guys get knocked all over the place and grab stuff all the time. But I just think that tells you kind of he can play through a lot. He plays, and I'm glad we caught it, to be honest, because it could have easily been something that he would have played through. And, you know, if you catch that in the middle of July or the middle of August now, you know, that's even worse.
So obviously it's a huge loss for the team. How does it specifically affect how you're going to play against Charlotte?
Well, first of all, we might play Charlotte, we might play Indiana, we might play Washington. Nobody knows.
Right.
So that's still all up in the air.
Okay.
You know, I think what we have to decide right now is what our plan of attack is for the weekend.
Uh-huh.
Right? Do we play everybody once? Do we play, you know, we don't play our high-minute guys either game? Like, how do we go about it? And, you know, there's some risk in that, right? Because you've got, again, you're not solidified in that home spot. And so there is a, you know, there's a lot to discuss today, and we'll have to figure that out. But, you know, I hope to have as many guys back as possible. Rob is the big question mark. And if we do, then, you know, we've got a core 6, 7, 8 that'll likely see the floor in that first play-in game.
I know you mentioned Rob there. We know what Fournier can do now, seeing him here as a Celtic. Other than guys like Neesmith and, you know, Pritchard, who we've seen in spurts and looks like, hey, they did that pretty well. Is there one other guy that you're looking at that you think, okay, you talk about that extended time, minutes, let's see if this guy can handle it. Is there anybody you can name that, like, you're looking to step up this weekend?
Well, I think everybody has something they can bring to the table, right? And so then it becomes about the matchup you're playing against, how the other team chooses to play, what you need in that moment. And so the key for this, you know, potentially, you know, at least again, I'm guessing that, you know, our high-minute guys will not play more than one game this weekend. But I think the key is to get everybody into a place where they feel good if they're put into the game. And I think that that's what you want, as you head in and you're ready. But again, I don't, you know, as you get into, you know, play in, play off, whatever you call it, you know, benches are going to get shorter.
Yeah. All right. Well, good luck with the two remaining games this weekend. Good luck on Tuesday when things start. We'll look forward to talking to you again.
All right, guys. Be well.
All right, thanks, Coach. Good luck this weekend.
All right, there you go. Brad Stevens joining us there on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Yeah, surprised as anybody when Jalen found out, or he was told.
That's the killer for him there. Not so much like a COVID positive or this or that, but, you know, one of your two superstars, you know, they say, okay, we took a scan. He's got ligament damage right then. It's like gut punch.
Yeah.
It's the way we felt as fans. Our reaction, covering it next day, dead. As a coach, you even got to feel worse. Dead.
Got to feel worse. But now, you know, it's incumbent upon him to figure out. It's like, all right, what are we going to do minutes-wise? How are we going to figure out who we're going to play? And then we'll worry about how we're going to match up without Jalen Brown being out.
It's not only that. It's now roster composition. If we get eliminated, moving on. Which guys, when things looked, it's worse, you know, under adverse conditions, who responded in these two games over the weekend? And then say they get knocked out of the play-in.
Right.
Who do we want to keep next year?
Yes.
Open contest right now.
When you think about it, you know, for a play-in team, it makes these last two games of the season somewhat more interesting when you're talking about, you know, what bench guys are stepping
up. That's obvious. Obviously, other than Tatum and Kemba and those guys.
Yeah. And it does add a little bit something to it that would not be there without this play-in tournament. Okay. We have Celtics calls, though. So we will get to the NFL schedule talk here very shortly, but we'll grab your Celtics calls next after Tim McCone's Hub Headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
putting you in the middle of the story.
It's gotta be the closest thing to Woodstock.
In the middle of the day.
It's like an acidic trip.
There's always a little bit of heaven in a disaster area.
Zolak and Bertram, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay,
you firing Brad?
Nice try.
Zolak and Bertrand Hardy in for Beetle. We had another call come in during Brad Stevens. Zo, you think it?
Well, a gentleman was trying to get on. We're not sure it was him, but he was busy and he said he would call back. He's working.
We think it was him.
All right. Well, he said he's going to call back in a little bit because we were on with Brad and we couldn't put him on through the Brad interview. And then we had a nice long break there.
Who spoke with him, T-Bone?
Skaz spoke with him.
Yeah, Skaz did.
Scatamooch was the only one to talk to him. He said he was called, put it this way, was an older gentleman calling from California who had a vested interest in the Buccaneers' schedule. Okay? Connect the dots. Said he was related to somebody who was directly affected by the Buccaneers' schedule.
Right. Listens to the show religiously out there.
So we think it was him. We think he's going to call back. We'll find out here in a few minutes. In the meantime, we'll take your calls on the Celtics here. Let's go to Shane in Fall River. Shane, you're on with Hardy, Zoe, and McCone today on Zolak and Bertrand. What's up?
What's up, man?
Sugar Shane, what up?
About Sugar Shane, I was just calling about Kemba Walker because, I mean, we spent so much money on this dude, and he's just playing, like, every other game.
Right.
The point guard is like the quarterback of the NBA. So we don't have a point guard on a regular basis. This is why we have the team that we have right now and the reason why we're playing in the play-in. Tom Brady took off every other game for load management.
Oh, yeah. No, there's no way. It's one of the reasons why
Tom would play. He wouldn't practice. That would be the difference there.
It was one of the reasons why Brady was the best. He always played.
Right.
He was never hurt. And you got hurt. You know, legitimately one season, other than that, he was always there. And that's one of the problems with the Celtics this year is the injury. And when it's to your point guard, you lack the cohesiveness and the consistency, and it's tough to get any kind of a rhythm going. The Kemba Walker's injuries are chief among the problems that this team has faced this year.
That's the biggest thing we loved about Tom when he was here was the availability. He would do what he had to do to make sure he played the game. He may not have been there on a Wednesday or Friday or Thursday. You need extra time to get that body ready.
All right. Gentleman has called back. I believe we're speaking with Tom Brady in California.
Tom Brady, senior.
Senior. It's Hardy and Scott Zolak, Tim McCone here on Zolak and Bertrand. Mr. Brady, how are you?
I'm doing fine, guys. How are you guys doing?
Hey, it is you. I was going to say, when's your kid's birthday? When's your son's birthday? But it is you. Where you been, buddy?
We're doing great. Everything could be better. Life is good. We're just enjoying the off season and can't wait to have September roll around and be ready for another Super Bowl run.
Now, I appreciate the call here, Mr. Brady, but I've talked multiple times with Tom trying to get you on my show, and he said, Zo, I'm not putting Dad on. So is he going to be angry? Is he going to be angry to have you on today?
I don't think so.
Attaboy.
I don't think so. I saw the schedule come out last night. And I started salivating when I saw that we play the Patriots in the fourth game of the season and that we're coming up here to make our record 4-0 after the fourth game. So it's a pretty fun time.
Wow. So, I mean, hey, you got Cowboys on that opening night, and then I think it's Atlanta. Then you got a tough West Coast trip against the Rams. And that's going to be a short week for your guy there to get ready. But you still think it's 4-0 coming out of the gate?
I don't know if it'd be. I they're all tough.
Yeah,
you look at them and there are no walkovers but you know, coming back home to Boston, you know, it's our second home here, and the Patriots are our second favorite team. It's a game where we get to root for against nobody. We get to root for the Patriots but we. Our most favorite team, of course, is the Buccaneers. And so we expect to beat the Patriots rather handily, frankly.
Ooh, okay. Hey, let me ask you this, Tom. Has anybody, you know, since Tommy's departure from New England and his decision to go elsewhere, and ultimately it was Tampa Bay, has there been any contact from anybody, organization, coach, teammates, OCs?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
This is our home. This has been our home for 20 years. So we love Boston. It's been a very special place in our heart for so many years. That when you leave town, you don't leave all your happy thoughts and your friends and your acquaintances behind. There's a lot of communication among staff and among the players. But so it's not a matter of walking out of town and being unhappy. He had a happy 20 years here and a most successful 20 years here. So now he's in another place and another opportunity to win. And that's really great. And the Patriots have reloaded and they're going to be fit to bear this year as well. So from my take on it, I think it's going to be great. And I get to have a favorite team in the AFC and I got a favorite team in the NFC. So, and then they play on the fourth week of the year. So I'm thrilled for this. I'm glad it's early in the season and the weather will be good and there won't be any moaning and complaining about weather or anything, either negatively or positively in the Boston area or if it was in Florida, but it's going to be great. I think we're going to have a great time. And again, I think the Buccaneers are kind of licking their chops to get up here and take the Patriots down a notch or whatever.
Tom Brady Sr. is on with us. So have you spoken with Tom about this this Week 4 game? And you say how excited they are. There were some rumblings about the Buccaneers having to travel to the Rams the week before and then go on the road again for a primetime game. Is he concerned at all about the travel and back-to-back weeks? And have you talked to him at all since the schedule came out?
You know, we talked before, and he just says you put on your big boy pants and you don't worry about where you have to play. You show up and play, and as professionals, that's what you do. So it's you know, whiners complain about if they don't want to lose, and the winners just buckle up the pants and put on the cleats and go at it. So he doesn't care where you play. He just wants to play. He loves everything about it. So.
I know you're excited, Tom. I know you're excited, and I know your son pretty well over the last 20 years. And everything he does is extremely calculated, and he's careful with everything. And when he shot that video, that Hulu video, and you know, sort of the black and white photo, and he's walking through the visiting tunnel at Gillette Stadium. That was, to me, not done for any old reason. It's almost like he foreshadowed this, and then he had the post looking forward to 10/03/21, and that's the day he returns to Foxborough. There's also the chance he could potentially break the NFL passing record. Now, to me, it's another record, but to these guys, when you played as long as they have, Drew Brees, him, what would it mean for him to potentially break it at Gillette?
You know, I think the fans at Gillette will embrace him until the opening kickoff, and then they're going to boo the hell out of him, which is great. But I think the fans appreciate what he's done. I assume that the fans have appreciated everything he's done for him for 20 years. But at the same time, they're Patriot fans. They're not Buccaneer fans. So while you could root for Tommy, you're rooting against the Buccaneers, and it would be fun. We talk about the passing yards and stuff. That's just regular season. Tommy's had the other one for a while now. So he's at, you know, total games and total passing yards in a career. So I think it will be fun. It would be a little cherry on top of the chocolate sundae.
Tommy's been through it before as far as winning it back to back. It's pretty unprecedented though to have the entire team, all 22 back and extra guys. How instrumental was he in making sure that happened?
Well, I think he's got a pretty good relationship with the players. So the players, a lot of the players really want to play for him. So they might take a little bit of a hometown discount to be able to walk it back a second time. So I don't think it would take much heavy lifting on his part. And I know Jason Light, our general manager, was very much determined to bring back as many guys as he could. Unfortunately, I think we got 25 or 26 guys that were frontline guys. So we had the kickers and the snappers and the rest of the offense and defense and stuff. So I think he may have had something to do with it, but it may have been just a reflection of who he is rather than him being intimately involved in every step of the way. I don't think that's his job, and I don't think that's something that he particularly engaged in.
Well, it's great to hear that you're happy to be coming back to Boston, that Tom's happy and excited to play here. But it almost seems like he's maybe even happier now in Tampa than he was, say, a couple of years ago in Boston. Do you get that sense that he has somehow found, reason to be, dare I say, even happier where he is now than after 2 decades in Boston? And I know you said, you know, this is like a second home and all this, but Tom seems to be in a pretty good place right now.
I think he's in a pretty good place because they just won the Super Bowl. So I'm not sure that, he had a happy 20 years here. You know, met his wife and raised his family and had great success with the Patriots. So that being said, I know that last month it was 85 degrees or so in Tampa as opposed to 45 degrees in New England, and we still love New England. Our daughter and her family is here, and so the fact that he won the Super Bowl has a lot to do, I think, with his happiness. I think it's also, you know, it's just a whole different culture, how do you do anything but appreciate everything that the Krafts have done for him and Belichick's done for him, the coaching staff, and these guys they've been in the trenches for 20 years together. So while he's happy now, I think he's starting to realize that the end of the career is coming to an end, and he's just savoring every moment as he walks down the final stretches, whether it's next 1 year, 2 years, or 12 years.
12 years. Wow. I don't know if we can do it. I can't mentally do this another 12 years. But, I mean, it has been a strange year. And the most impressive thing, I think, Tom, is he's done this through that pandemic. And I know you were in the hospital. You sound great now, and I've talked to you since that. But he talked passionately on a call with the NFLPA, the league reps, and said, let's not get invested in these OTAs and mandatory this and that. Has he found a new way that he's able to prepare himself in the offseason, maybe this year, the prior year? And I know he wasn't around his last couple of years here, as opposed to it was where he's winning that parking space each and every year early in his career. Has he found a new way that he thinks that teams could prepare now, and that's why he's like that?
You know, I don't know that he – I know that he prepares every single day through the offseason, so I know that he's – very well prepared when the OTAs start. But at the same time, I think you need some of these off-season reps with his guys to get to know him. I think the really key thing, though, is, and I didn't know this, because when I saw the discussions going back and forth, I was pretty surprised that he felt that way. But the analytics say that there were a whole heck of a lot less injuries this last year during the regular season. And that bespeaks of something. I know that, I mean, I remember 40 years ago, 50 years ago, when they had OTAs and they had training camps, and the guys would tackle and they would have a million people getting hurt in the practice sessions. And the less they've done, the less injuries have been. And these guys today, as you know, Zoe, they're bigger and faster and stronger and hit harder than they've ever hit before. And you got to protect them to a certain extent. And the OTAs, they don't do low pats but they're trying to eliminate the injuries. And so it's not so much learning something new, just realizing that your body only has so many hits in it. And if you waste them during the OTAs, you know, for a lot of off-season stuff, then that's another deal. A lot of the stuff is mental, and they can do that on Zoom. They can do that stuff, and that's fine and dandy. But they'll get together, and the guys that, you know, especially the linemen, you know, they crack heads at every single play. And that's no way to be able to enjoy longevity in the league if you're just beating the heck out of your body. So it's just a position that he felt for the good of his guys, that they don't crash heads and break bones and in needless off-season workouts.
He's pretty pissed off about some of those potential linemen maybe wearing a single digit, changing them from 55 to 5 as far as these blocking schemes. He's like, now I got to deal with that in year 21. You know,
that's beyond my comprehension. I know he'll figure it out, and the other guys will too. But I think after you've done something for 25 years and gotten into a little bit of a system, it's going to be a little bit of an adjustment.
Did you get on a new boat yet, the 77 footer?
I don't like water. I can't swim.
What? You really can't swim? All those nice places that you tour. Pebble Beach. Well, you never said, hey, I hit a ball off, you know, maybe, out in the ocean.
Maybe I can swim a little bit.
Okay. Tom Brady Sr., you've always known and had a really good insight, obviously, as to how long Tom was going to play. And I believe you were among the first to say unequivocally 45. And it's going to be that. He's got a new deal in Tampa. Is there another one coming after this? Is he going to bring it back again and again and again?
You know, I truly don't know that. And I'm not sure that he does, too. It just depends on how you feel. And we've talked about this in the past. You know, if you enjoy doing what you're doing and you're good at it and people still want you to do it and you're not embarrassing yourself, then do it till it makes you unhappy. And if that's 46, 47, I don't know. That's between him and his wife and between he and you know, the team. So I don't know that there's anything hard and fast. You know, I just know that he's got a contract for 2 years, and he's basically said he's playing this year. So that's as far as I know.
All right. Well, your initial statement about being excited to come up here and watch the Buccaneers go 4-0 to start the season as happy.
You could sit with me in the booth.
Yeah,
you don't get the box anymore.
Well, as happy as we are to hear from you, there's a lot of people hoping that's not the case, but they're all excited to see your son and the whole family, everybody back here in Foxborough.
We miss him.
Come October. So thank you so much for calling in. We do appreciate it.
It's great talking to you guys. Thanks a million.
All right, Tom.
One.
Hope the family's
bye.
Well. I'll see you, buddy.
Take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. Tom Brady Sr., completely unscheduled. Just wanted to call in and talk about how excited he was to see that the Buccaneers will move to 4-0 on the season after their trip to Foxborough in October.
I didn't believe you listened to the show. Like, I would see him after – I would see him in the back of fifth quarter after some of the games, and he's like, how's the show going? It's like, you don't listen to the show. He goes, yeah, they're streaming now, buddy. So they all listen.
Well,
McDaniels' parents, all of them.
Good to know that fathers never change, and he is it's not that he's just rooting for Tom. He is calling it now 4-0 to start the season. Kind of tongue-in-cheek, kind of not. You want to do a game preview next, though? You want to just start breaking down week four?
Want to do the score?
That was fantastic. Thanks again for calling in, Tom Brady Sr. We'll be back. We'll take your calls, too. Talk more about the NFL schedule. Bertrand out today. It's Hardy in on Zolak and Bertrand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.